Fifty Shades Darker plunges us deeper into the complex relationship between billionaire Christian Grey and literature student Anastasia Steele. Their passionate reunion unfolds against a backdrop of psychological trauma and obsession. Christian, haunted by nightmares of childhood abuse, finds himself doing something he never imagined possible, falling in love. Anna, meanwhile, must decide if she can accept a man whose need for control stems from wounds that haven't fully healed. What makes this story so captivating isn't just the explicit encounters that made it famous, but the vulnerable moments between them. When Christian drops to one knee in a boathouse transformed with wildflowers and fairy lights, his proposal represents a profound evolution. "You have my heart," he tells Anna, words that would have been unthinkable from the man who once claimed he didn't do romance. Yet even as they celebrate, a sinister figure watches from the shadows, foreshadowing dangers that will test their newfound happiness. Christian's domineering nature stems from a traumatic childhood where he had no control. Born to an addicted mother, he suffered severe neglect and abuse before age 4, evidenced by cigarette burns on his chest that explain his aversion to being touched there. Self-described as 50 shades of fucked up, Christian's controlling behavior extends beyond intimacy into everyday life. When Anna's boss makes unwanted advances, Christian purchases her entire workplace, Seattle Independent Publishing, protecting her while problematically becoming her ultimate employer. What's compelling is Anna's navigation of this power dynamic. She refuses mere submission, challenging Christian's control while exploring her own desires. "I don't want to change you," she tells him. "I love you just the way you are. Bossy, moody, difficult, funny, sweet." Their relationship evolves into a continuous negotiation between his need for control and her need for independence. Two significant figures from Christian's history affect his relationship with Anna: Elena Lincoln and Layla Williams. Elena, whom Anna refers to as Mrs. Robinson, became involved with Christian when he was underage and continues to maintain a professional connection as his business partner, claiming their past association was beneficial rather than detrimental. During Christian's birthday celebration, Elena makes inappropriate comments about Anna, leading to a decisive confrontation. Through Anna's perspective, Christian finally understands the problematic nature of his past with Elena. He tells her that while she taught him about physical relationships, Anna showed him emotional intimacy. This realization leads him to end their professional and personal association. Layla, a former partner experiencing psychological distress, creates concern by following Anna and ultimately confronting her in a dangerous situation. When Christian arrives and speaks authoritatively, Layla responds with immediate compliance, a scene that troubles Anna and causes her to reflect on relationship dynamics and personal boundaries. The experiences with both women serve as important turning points in Christian's emotional development and his relationship with Anna, highlighting the contrast between past patterns and genuine emotional connection. The most transformative moments in 50 Shades Darker aren't the elaborate sexual encounters, but the quiet instances of emotional vulnerability. When Christian reveals the full extent of his childhood abuse, showing Anna his cigarette burns and describing days with his dead mother's body, he risks rejection. Instead, her compassion deepens their connection. Physical boundaries fall alongside emotional ones. When Anna accidentally touches Christian's chest while sleeping, it doesn't trigger his usual panic. "You can touch me," he tells her later, representing monumental progress for someone whose trauma response was once severe. This healing works both ways. Anna, having grown up with an absent father and feeling secondary in her mother's life, finds validation in Christian's intense focus. Dr. Flynn acknowledges this. "You've made more progress with him in a few weeks than I've made in 2 years." What makes this portrayal compelling is its messiness. Christian still struggles with control issues, acts jealously, and sometimes reverts to old patterns. Real healing isn't linear, and the story respects this reality while showing meaningful progress. Christian's wealth gives him extraordinary power to shape Anna's world beyond their intimate relationship. His casual remark, "That's what we megalomaniacs do, we buy stuff," after purchasing her company, highlights their vastly different relationships with power. The novel shows the darker implications of extreme wealth. Christian tracks Anna's location, researches her friends, and accesses her bank accounts without permission. When he deposits $24,000 from selling her car, Anna questions whether financial dependence might compromise her autonomy. Jack Hyde, Anna's former boss, serves as Christian's foil, another man who uses professional power for personal gain, but without restraint. Hyde's attempted assault reveals unchecked male power in professional settings. After being fired for harassment, he seeks revenge by sabotaging Christian's helicopter and breaking into Anna's apartment. This subplot highlights class differences. While Christian casually spends millions, Anna values financial independence. Her resistance to lavish gifts reflects legitimate concerns about power imbalance. Their compromise, Anna continuing to work at SIP despite Christian's ownership, mirrors their broader relationship, balancing his need for control with her need for independence. At the heart of Christian and Anna's relationship lies a tension between dominance and independence. The Red Room, Christian's BDSM playroom, physically manifests this negotiation. Initially frightening to Anna, she gradually discovers her own desires within its confines, finding pleasure in submission that doesn't diminish her strength elsewhere. Their sexual encounters evolve from Christian's scripted scenes to more equal exchanges where Anna sometimes leads. When she ties him up, something he never allowed previous submissives, it represents profound trust. For a man whose childhood created a pathological need for control, allowing himself to be physically restrained shows remarkable growth. Christian gradually abandons his need to punish Anna when she breaks his rules, understanding that healthy relationships aren't built on punishment, but on mutual respect and compromise. This evolution transforms BDSM from a rigid power structure into intimate play between equals. This journey raises profound questions. How much should we compromise for love? Where is the line between caring protection and controlling possession? What does it mean to truly submit to another, not from fear, but from trust and desire? As Christian and Anna stand engaged and committed despite their challenges, we see how profoundly they've changed each other. Christian has evolved from believing himself incapable of love to risking everything for happiness. "I was a complete mess until I met you," he confesses. "You're my lifeline." Anna has grown equally, developing confidence in her desires and boundaries. No longer intimidated by Christian's wealth and intensity, she's become his equal partner, challenging him when necessary while loving him without trying to change his essence. Their planned house renovation symbolizes their approach to building a future, preserving what's beautiful while making changes that work for both of them. This metaphor extends to their relationship, which maintains elements of Christian's lifestyle while incorporating Anna's need for emotional intimacy and equality. Yet shadows remain. Jack Hyde watches vengefully from the darkness. Elena's influence leaves psychological scars. Christian's trauma continues manifesting in nightmares and fear. Their happiness, earned through honest confrontation of differences, remains fragile, vulnerable to both external dangers and unresolved issues. Their engagement represents not an ending, but a beginning, a commitment to face whatever comes next together.